What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Conquest
Podcast, where we talk about conventions, fandom, and all things pop culture. We're your hosts, Kat
and Shinmo, and we brought some people with us, guys. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks.
I'm Craig.
No introduction needed.
I was going to have you guys introduce yourselves. That's how it goes.
I don't know.
That's fine.
I don't think so. Don't people usually get introduced? I'm DJ.
Well, there you go. Now we don't need one.
Yeah.
But no, you guys came down because we're going to talk. This year is the 25th anniversary of Sandlot. So we thought, why not? Because it's one of my favorite movies of all time, at least.
Just yours. The rest of us hate it. Yeah.
I mean, you guys have only seen it, what, once? Craig, I think you've seen half of it?
Yeah, half. Yeah. Three quarters.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I was on my phone through most of it.
I've actually never seen it.
Oh, perfect. This episode's going to go great.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
So it's about this hockey team that travels across the country that, no.
travels across the country.
Cross country hockey. So if you've never seen it, go watch the movie. It's probably one of the greatest baseball movies ever made, at least.
Yeah, I would say so. I don't know if it's my favorite.
It's definitely the most, one of the few.
You just said it was one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, you know what I mean. No, I don't.
Top three. Top three for me.
Isn't your sure. your top baseball movies?
It is probably my top baseball movie, I'd say.
There's probably only seven baseball movies.
And
this one's in your top three?
Sure.
No, my top three. His top one.
Yeah. What's your other top two?
I would say A League of Their Own and Rookie of the Year.
Oh, man, League of Their Own is great. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Those would be my top three as well.
Bull Durham's pretty good, too.
Never saw it.
It's pretty good. Angels in the Outfield as well. I enjoyed.
Yeah, you wouldn't stop talking about it earlier.
I made one joke.
It felt like 10 jokes.
Yeah. Well, then buckle up for this podcast.
You are in for a ride.
But this is one of the few movies that I can honestly say I've probably seen at least 75 times throughout my life. I watched this movie so much when I was a kid, and it was one that was just always on, or if it was... It was always a good movie to where, because I've seen it so many times, where if I need something to fall asleep to, I'm like, oh, Sandlot. Perfect.
Yeah. So comforting.
Yep. What about you? What do you guys remember about this as a kid? Because this was just a movie I always had going on.
Yeah. It was a movie that I owned on VHS during a time of when I didn't own a lot of VHSs, so I watched it a million times. But I remember, my first, I guess, guy crush being Benny. Yeah, Benny the Jet.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was one of my first crushes, too. Yeah. Hey, man, Smalls. They're both adorable.
Yeah, Smalls, is so weird because, he looks like a young adult. You know what I mean?
I was thinking the exact same thing when I was rewatching this the other night. I was like, is this kid 10 or 45?
And if you see him now, he has the exact same face. He's just slightly taller.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got in some legal trouble.
Didn't he get into drugs or something
like
that?
I don't know.
Maybe. Wait, really?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That sucks.
I don't know if it was drugs, but there was a mugshot of him somewhere.
Smalls.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was definitely the dad of the group, after he was brought into the group.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in his voice, the way he pronounces things. He's an old Jewish man. That wasn't my ball.
If he was the dad, who was the mom of the group?
Maybe Ham. Just because I feel he knows how to cook and make sure everyone's eating. And stuff.
If he was the mom of the group, he was definitely Roseanne.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe even Smalls was the mom and the dad.
Yeah.
He was just all the parents.
Yeah.
He was just both of them.
Yeah, I guess Benny would be more of the dad and Smalls was the mom.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. I feel like Ham would be the drunk uncle that comes to visit on holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking asshole.
Backpack filled with s'mores.
Right? He gets into a lot of trouble. He gets everybody, he gets them into the whole game against the actual baseball team and gets off. He doesn't take any shit from people.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
I think Smalls is the biggest asshole of the group.
I mean, he fucking goes...
No, not Smalls. Squints. Sorry.
Squints,
because he's... Yeah. It's weird, too, because I always forget that he... If you ever watch Freaks and Geeks, he's the bully.
Yeah, he's also a fucking asshole in that show.
I hate him in that show.
Yeah, he's a dick.
He sucks.
When he first, because Small comes into the scene and L7 Weenie, he hates him, doesn't want anything to do with him.
Well,
he accepts him.
Everybody hates him when he first joins.
Benny does him. Benny likes him.
Yeah, well,
he's the
Benny's
only one, though.
Yeah.
The true. Best.
Yeah, he's 26.
Guys, he can legally buy us beer. It's fine.
I do. The thing for me, though, when they're all like, this is such a simplistic kids movie where they're like, well, why are you bringing this kid? It's not like, oh, he's new on my street. He needs friends. He's just like, he makes nine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the only reason he gives them. Well, he makes
they
nine.
They need a full team.
He can rotate more positions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, baseball is life.
Yep.
At least for
Benny, kind of selfish, actually, now that I think about it.
Just using his friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the whole, so if you haven't seen it, the whole point of the whole plot of the movie is this kid, Smalls, moves to a new town right at the beginning of the summer, and he ends up befriending this group of eight kids, which he makes the ninth, that are obsessed with baseball. And the whole plot of the story is they don't have a ball, so Smalls goes home, gets a ball from his stepdad, played by Dennis Leary, who's awesome in this movie.
Yeah, so fresh face too.
Right?
Yeah.
A clean cut 50s look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It fits him perfectly too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then the ball is signed by Babe Ruth and it gets hit over a fence. And the beast, which is a giant gorilla dog ding of a dog, eats it.
I think that's a direct quote from the movie.
Right. It was a
gorilla
half a quote.
Dog ding of a dog.
It was half a quote. This is how this whole episode's going to go. So let's just get into it.
Yeah, I just can't, like, it's so, like, I watch it so differently now that I'm 30 than I, like, when I was, like, 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would, if your ball, like, the ball that you have in your, like, stepdad's room that he doesn't even like you going in.
Right.
Even if it was just a regular ball, don't take it. It's signed by someone. Don't take it even more. It's signed by Babe Ruth. Don't even touch it. What are you
don't
doing?
Don't breathe near it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
To be fair, though, he thought it was just some lady named
some lady.
Ruth.
I know.
Yeah.
You can't believe that.
Baby Ruthie?
Yeah.
That wimpy deer?
But also, another thing, when they like try to fake the autograph and Benny spells it wrong.
Yeah, there's an E at the end.
Yeah, like, right. You fucking like, poser.
And also, when they go to get the ball, they're like, we got to scrounge everything up. We need to get a new ball. Why couldn't you just do that in the first place?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as the ball's hit over the fence, like, game's over. Day's done. Like, what are we going to do now?
I love, you guys got, like, an extra 90 cents just laying around?
No, we can't play no more.
Yeah. You can't play no more over here.
I'm playing here.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, like, there's that. And also, like, watching it differently now that I'm older, like he Smalls is like stirring chocolate milk right before he goes to bed, and I'm like, good luck falling asleep now.
Oh, that's what you pick out of it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, there's no way.
I do. I'm basically a child though, so it's okay.
It is supposedly the best rehydrator after you work out and the best hangover cure.
I'm sure he's doing both of those things.
Yep. Yeah. Well, he's rehydrating after a long day of baseball.
Was he playing then?
No,
he no, it was right before. This is when he was playing with...
He still had that stupid plastic mitt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his bass hat.
Oh, my God.
I like, love that line.
That giant fucking brim on it.
Yeah, he looks like he's in The Handmaid's Tale.
It's a fish on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And he still has it at the end, which I
like. Yeah, when he was like... A commentator for the Dodgers. Yeah.
Which actually, one thing I actually really enjoy about this movie, the bookends that take place in, well, what was the present day in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it goes back and tells that story. I always like bookend type movies. Like all in a flashback, which is always kind of nice.
It's weird how well they got the casting for older Benny, because it looks just like him.
Right?
It's scary.
It's actually his older brother.
Is it really?
No way.
Okay, that makes sense.
Holy that shit. Was one of the trivia questions, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't me this time. It was DJ.
That's true. Yeah, so Mike Vitar's older brother, Pablo Vitar, played adult Benny.
That's awesome.
Oh, that makes sense. Cool. That's really cool.
Because I was thinking that the other day when I was watching it, I was like, that looks exactly like him.
Yeah,
extreme casting.
Yeah, it's scary. He also kind of looks like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
You know what? That's every time I watch that movie, I'm like, if they ever made a Queen movie, which they are, but this was a while ago, I'm like, he looks just like him.
Yeah.
Would have been perfect casting.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. I want that now. But another,
I'm sure he's not a great actor.
I don't know. He does a good thumbs up.
Yeah. He really sells it.
Yeah, you believe him.
He gets lost into that role.
One of the things about this movie is even today, I mean, this is what this is its 25th anniversary, and this is a movie that is still beloved and watched by many people, mm-hmm. and still quoted all the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Arguably, it's probably You're Killing Me, Smalls, and Heroes Get Remembered, Legends Never Die are probably mm-hmm. the two most well known.
Yeah.
But there's this. I quote this movie constantly, all the time. I was talking to UK. And Grant, I'll be honest, this doesn't happen very often, but whenever I play like baseball or wiffle ball or something like that, whenever I am throwing a ball, I use, this is my heater. I dare you to hit it. I use it all the time.
I use on a regular basis, which is really weird, that you mix your weenies with your mama's toe jam and you like it.
That's one of the best things with the
whole
thing.
That is so weird. I can't believe that. That's what you pull. That's so funny.
Like at least once a month, I probably like use that as an insult.
Poor Tim.
Yeah. I'm trying to eat.
You bob for apples in the toilet and you like it. That's probably my favorite one of that whole exchange, I think.
That. What happened? I can't hear from the headphones. All right, there we go. That was weird.
Oh. Small tip.
Leave it in. Don't edit that out.
Yeah.
Nope, staying in.
The that whole sequence where they're playing, for where they're having the face-off with the like Little League team, and then when they're actually playing them is my favorite like 10 minutes of that movie.
I love him as the catcher just mm-hmm. fucking with all the batters.
Oh, yeah, it's so funny.
Is that your sister out in left field? Naked? She naked?
What? I was trying to make conversation.
Did she go out with me?
I just love when they roll up on the bikes. It's like, wait a second, who the hell are these guys?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the song that they play is perfect for that.
Green Onions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome song. I have one of a few, like, just because there's no lyrics other, right? Yeah, no lyrics in that.
No.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm thinking about the soundtrack of this movie, that and then Tequila.
Yeah.
When they eat
so fucking
the
gross.
Big chief and just puke over everybody.
I never knew what that was as a kid.
Me neither.
I was like, they're like eating some weird ass bubble gum and it's making them all sick.
That's exactly what I thought it was.
That kid is like chewing the scenery too. He's like, I've been saving this for something special. Yeah. And his like face becomes like 5 feet wide.
Yeah. I love that. He's like, oh crap, I almost forgot. And then you almost forgot this giant fucking bag in your back pocket.
The thing, like the big whiff he does just.
Yeah. Like the best.
It always makes me think of that similar scene in Problem Child 2 where they turn the ride up really fast and everybody starts puking.
Oh, yeah.
I love everybody. It's all of the other people riding it, their mm-hmm. reactions to it. Because it takes a minute. Like they're all having fun and all of a sudden you can see like, oh, they're about to start puking. And then the one shot when it's like people running and then the puke hits the ground and the girl gets like covered in her shoes. Like,
yeah, it's disgusting. There's like fucking chunks. Like,
gross.
And they're all covered. I don't know how it gets on their shirt so perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like really bothersome to me that the younger Timmons brother, he's like 6, 7.
Yeah.
Why are they letting him choo choo?
The 50s were different.
Choo
choo. Did you guys notice how often they all say the same thing at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
They do it like 4 times.
The brothers or everybody?
All of them. Yeah.
The beast.
Yeah. Camp out.
Yeah.
Like if I said the same thing at the same time as like 7 other people, I'd be like flipping out.
The other one I think is right before they go to the pool. They're like, pool honeys.
Yeah, exactly. It's so like, why was that a part of kids' movies back then?
Yeah.
Saying the same thing at the same time.
They want to make you feel like part of the gang.
Right.
When you're watching it for the 30th time and you're like, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was repeated a lot. And then I don't know if anybody knew this, but they get in the biggest pickle of their
lives.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, you were talking about
that. I forgot about how much that phrase is used. And I was watching it the other day, and I was like, I think the only thing about this movie that doesn't hold up is the narration.
Yeah.
Because they say so many times, and that was the day I got us into the biggest pickle we've ever been in.
Yeah.
It's brutal in the narration. And then even when Babe Ruth comes in the dream to Benny, he's like, so, kid, I hear you're in quite a pickle. Yeah. He's like, enough with the pickle.
He's like, you just got to go over the fence and get the ball. And he's like, you think I got to pickle the beast? Yeah. What?
And then before Babe Ruth leaves, he's like, hey, you got any pickles?
Eats the jar as he walks back in the closet.
It's like the guy that wrote the script only knew one like baseball term and decided just to throw it all over the movie.
Yeah, because the only time they actually use it as a baseball term is in the beginning when you see them playing baseball for the first time and mm-hmm. Benny gets in the pickle. That's the only time it's actually used as a baseball term, I think. Other than that, it's trying to get the best of a dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
The puppeteering for the beast is awesome.
Me and Craig were just talking about this.
Yeah. When he's biting that erector set.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, it's crazy. And that fucking poor, like, Smalls cannot catch a break anywhere.
That shit couldn't have been cheap.
Yeah, like, he's so good at it, too. And then he gets, like, his entire, like, erector set ruined.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always love the shot when they finally get it in the, like, in the catapult and they launch it. And that, the scene with the, like, the head of the dog, just how big it is. Oh, and they're all like, oh, my God. But the one thing I never understood, that even when I was a kid in that movie, is when they're trying all the different schemes and stuff like that. And Squints is, like, looking through the periscope thing. But he's always whispering. I'm like,
yeah.
How are they hearing him in the trees? Yeah.
And then, like, when, like, I felt, so there's that, like, with he's whispering, I think with the, I forget if it's the pan or, like, the erector set, like, launch.
Yeah.
But then there's one where it's, like the same environment, but he's, like, yelling. And it's,
yeah.
Like,
I think it's, out of all my, all the schemes they do, my favorite one is with the vacuums. Because it's just fucking crazy.
And like, it's gonna blow.
It's pinched. Yeah. And then he starts yelling. Like, you couldn't tell him before the backup happened.
Yeah.
The hose is pinched.
I actually, as a kid, I always thought, I was always afraid of the vacuum for that reason. I'm like, the thing's gonna blow up and it's just gonna get everything everywhere.
I also don't think I realized those were vacuums when I was a kid. Yeah. I was like, what are they using? I don't know, but it's so cool. Yeah. It seems to be working really well.
Like the Ghostbusters in the 50s.
Then I rewatched it the other day, and when the treehouse blows up, there's like fire coming out of the windows, and then friggin' Timmy Timmons comes, or whatever his name is, comes out of the treehouse, just shakes the dust off his head, and he's like, we need to do something else.
Yeah, yeah.
I even love how they... In that scene when I'm pretty sure it's Benny and is it Bertram? How they just don't even, they just leap right over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many times when people leap and just land on their back, like, especially like when Benny is being chased by the beast. Like,
yeah.
How does that not fucking kill?
I know.
Oh, man.
What was I just going to say? Come back to me later.
Okay. My favorite of their schemes is when they send Yaya over on like the bungee cord.
Oh, so what I was going to say was the amount of objects that the beast just throws in the air is unbelievable. If there's a drinking game for the Sandlot, that's got to be one of the rules. Like,
you should make one.
Yeah. Every time they say pickle.
Yep.
Pickle, yeah, it's a good one.
Every time the beast breaks something or takes something.
Right. And launches it in the air.
Yep. Anytime Yaya says Yaya.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait, did I just say Yaya?
You did.
Oh, my God. I did not mean to do that.
Yeah. Every time Squints fixes his glasses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Or the little Timmons repeats his brother.
Tommy. The little one's Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy and Timmy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shut up, Tommy. Anytime Smalls tucks in his t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Sexual predator Squints, unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
But that leads to one of the best scenes when they actually go to the pool, and I just love the narration there always gets me. Just he pulled the move that, like, none, like, he just goes into it, and the look he has on his face when he
opens
his eyes.
That's the creepiest fucking, so weird. Grinch look, especially when he's really just walking over to the diving board, and he's like...
Yeah, he's giggling to himself.
Yeah, he's like...
Fixes his glasses and then just jumps in.
You recognize that actress who plays Wendy Peppercorn?
Am I supposed to?
I always get her confused with Marlee Shelton because she kind of looks like her.
She looks just like her.
But I don't remember what her name is. She is in like Sugar and Spice and...
I thought that was the actress that was in...
Maybe it is.
Yeah, she's in Sin City.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's her.
So many blonde actresses from that. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I don't know who that is.
But yeah, that whole scene, I never got as a kid that I was like, everybody sees his eyes open. Like, not even just his friends, everybody, the other lifeguards, then like, oh, he's fine. And they just let her go back down, and he kisses her for a good amount of time before, like,
he kissed her
like,
long and he kissed her hard.
Ooh.
He kissed her long and he kissed her hard.
If you were during warm-ups, that's a sultry voice right there.
Which, when they talk about their futures and Squints and Wendy get married, how much older is she than him?
Right?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Not old. I mean, they have 9 kids.
Yeah, because they make it seem like those kids, they're like maybe 7 to 12.
Say in that ballpark,
age range.
Yeah.
So let's say he's like 12. She's got to be at least 15, 16. That's still 3 to 4 years.
That's a real Padme Anakin situation on this.
Yeah, which I guess isn't that big in the grand scheme of things, especially like in your 20s, but
true love knows no age.
When I was a kid, I was like, oh, he's like 10 and she's like 17. I don't know. It just like seems like a weird age gap.
She looks much older than all
She probably was.
She's a full grown woman.
Yeah. And boy, did he know it.
Yeah.
Oiling.
And smiling.
I can't take it no more.
Even like the look she gives him like after when he's out of the fence and he's like looking through on the other side of the fence. She like smiles at him. It's like, I don't think that would ever happen.
No, and does the like...
The little wave.
The wave.
Yeah, I bet he came right then and there.
Oh, yeah. It was his first boner.
Right when he heard the first words of this magic moment.
Yeah. That's really why they call him Squints.
Oh! Gross, cat. Ew.
Damn.
I was not expecting that at all.
Sick.
You're going to have to put explicit on this one.
Yeah. Jeez, this is going to be banned in like 40 states. Ugh. He's a kid.
I'm like, this is a kid's movie.
Oh.
Sorry, guys.
Now what are we talking about?
Right?
Show's over. Yeah. We're canceled.
How about that camp out, huh?
That's also another often quoted forever.
Yeah.
Even the s'mores part, like, how can I have a s'more if I haven't had any already?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
First you take the gram. Put the chocolate on the graham. Then you toast the mallow.
You stick the mallow on the chocolate. It's actually how I learned how to make
then
a s'more.
You stuff.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. I mean, when this movie came out in 93. I was only 3 when this movie came out. So.
Such a
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 3 as well.
Yeah.
I was like 26. I was like 7, I think.
I was 8.
No, I was 5 or 6, but...
So if you can't tell the math, me and Craig are the youngest.
I don't know.
Craig is the youngest. Actually, I think it's Tommy Timmons is the youngest. Or Timmy. Timmy's the younger one, right?
Yeah, right?
Nope. Just kind of going off right now.
It's Tommy. We established
Didn't
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shut up, Tommy.
This happens in most episodes. I just kind of go off. Sorry. Thanks for still listening.
The camp out scenes always reminded me of being a kid. Well, when I watch it now, obviously. We used to set up tents in like my buddy Jimmy Holland's backyard, and we'd bring out this little like 12-inch TV that had a VCR player in it. And we'd just watch a bunch of movies from Blockbuster all night.
That sounds great.
Yeah, yeah,
awesome.
That sounds, oh man. Rewatching that treehouse scene was like, I want to do that with my friends now. Just go
right?
Like,
I know.
Yeah.
Huge, like treehouse and, you know, like sleeping bags and like candlelight and stuff.
Yeah.
It'd be like fucking so cool.
Be really fun.
Let's do it.
No. I got work tomorrow.
It's also the middle of the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe in the
Well, no, it's actually spring, technically.
That's true, actually.
It's true.
Yeah. It doesn't fucking feel like it.
Yeah, we've been waiting for a snowstorm all day that did not come.
Yeah. I don't say it because now it's going to happen.
No.
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 No. There's, you know what? I just lost my thoughts. Same thing happened to you, Deej. Actually, one of my favorite parts of this, and something like a comedic part of it, is when they play the night game on 4th of July with the fireworks. And I love the shot when Benny hits the ball, and it's just all the kids looking up at the sky at the fireworks, and he's just running the bases.
That scene makes me want to cry.
That's like it's a beautiful scene.
Yeah, my ideal like 4th of July is like night, fireworks, and like baseball, like in 1960s, like, sweet block party. It just like that, like what I actually do on 4th of July is really cool and I love it very much. But like ever since I saw that movie, I was like, that looks like the best.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Plus it has that element of like, oh yeah, there's this big block party. All the adults are hanging out and stuff, but the kids all go off and do their own thing.
Yeah. That the movie, even though it takes place in the 60s, you still as a kid could like relate to it. And even as an adult, you're looking back and you're like, oh, I remember like going out and playing tag at night,
right?
Or like the neighborhood game. It's just like, it does such a great job of crafting a story from a child's point of view that you can watch at any age.
Right.
And like whether you relate to it as a child or just remembering back on your own memories, like even how ridiculous and large and big the beast is compared to what the beast actually looks like, you know that they're like so scared of it and it's such a legend in their mind, mm-hmm. that giant puppet makes so much sense and you're like, yeah, that's exactly what it looks like to them. Like it doesn't feel surreal or like out of place.
Yeah.
I can completely relate to this. When I was growing up, there was a big dog, actually kind of looked like Hercules from Sandlot, different colors, but same kind of dog. And everybody, I remember all the kids would always, like all the neighborhood kids, we would always be outside playing or something like that. And then the dog's name was Jupiter. And usually right around like 4:30, 5 o'clock, like kind of close to when the parents came home, the owner would always let it outside. And this is before like you really had to have your dog really hooked up on a leash and stuff like that. It would just kind of wander the neighborhood. It was a very, very friendly dog, but it would wander the neighborhood. And as soon as we start, we'd be like, hide whatever we had, the balls, like we had toys, anything. We would have to hide it because the dog would always come down and take something. And then it would be like 15 neighborhood kids chasing this dog around the block trying to get it back. And it would happen almost on like a daily basis in the summer. It reminds me so much of this movie. I miss that dog. I don't know what ever happened to him.
I'm sure he's dead.
Sad, but true. it was a while ago, but it reminded me so much of it because like, and it'd be the same thing every time. Like, I remember, like, my mom would come home and be like, oh, what's the dog got today? And, like, just laugh at all the kids trying to chase down this dog.
Yeah.
Happened all the... Like, all those cheap little, like, dollar balls you see at, like, Market Basket and, like, grocery stores and stuff like that. Went through so fucking many of those. Dog would just come down and pop it and be like, oh, I need to get something else. good times, though.
That rendition of America the Beautiful is so absurd, too. Like, the ad-libs in between, like, are so ridiculous. I think one of them is like, no, wait a minute! It's so insane. I meant to say that before when we were talking about it, but you had to tell your Jupiter story. Which I don't blame you. It was a great,
that's a good one.
Great anecdote.
Thank you. Moving on, I guess.
From Jupiter? Come on.
I wonder whatever happened to that 80-year-old dog.
From when I was 4.
How long do you think they played baseball? Because they
mean like on a daily basis?
Yeah, because they would get there at like...
Daily bases.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I had to squeeze that in there. You were saying, Kat?
They'd get there at like 8 or 9 a.m. and at like noon, they'd be like, oh, no, we can't play anymore. And I'm like, you've already been playing for 5 hours.
Well, I think it's one of the lines that he's like, it's all day, every day. So I honestly imagine them waking up and going until the sun
it's
went
like
down.
It's like camp.
Yeah. I remember doing that as a kid, though. There was like there were 4 kids in my neighborhood. It was me, Jimmy Holland, Brian Camerano, and Johnny Buzza.
Hey, guys. Johnny Buzza is a great name.
I love all those names.
And we would play 2-on-2 basketball, football, wiffle ball especially.
Yeah.
And it was like every summer. You wake up, okay, where is everybody? Let's all gather in somebody's yard. Brian Camerano had the best wiffle ball field in his backyard. He had like these giant-ass bushes around his pool. So that would be like the third baseline. And then he had a fence probably like... 20 yards out. So if you hit it over the fence, home run, obviously.
Right, of course.
but if you were able to run around the fence and grab the ball and throw it back over to your teammate before the person got to home base, then things got a little fucking crazy.
Friendships were ruined, so it's fine.
When I was in high school, I had a my backyard was really sweet for wiffle ball, and it had like the same like outfield wall as Fenway Park.
Cool.
That's like really there was like the main part of my house was kind of like the same, you know, for like the Green Monster, and then it kind of juts in a little bit, and then like the backyard like fence was like the long right field wall.
So you grew up in Fenway Park?
Yeah, it felt like it. But yeah, I had like a group of friends that we would play like in the summer. We would always go to like, you know, baseball fields and play like sandlot. And I was like the small kid, and they were like, most of them were like a year or two older than me. And me and my friend Johnny were in the same grade.
Johnny Buzza?
Yeah, I wish. No, but he was like a big kid. So like, I'm the only one who like can't hit a home run because I'm so small. And then like, it took me like a couple years, but then we played at like a Boys and Girls Club baseball field, and I hit my first home run, and like the walls are like pretty tall. Mm-hmm. So no one's expecting me to hit a home run, and I fucking like sock it so hard. And like they had like a shift for me that was like, they would like move in a little, but to the right because I'm a lefty. And then I hit it over the fence, and like I was like hoisted up, and like everyone was like
so triumphant.
Right. Yeah, I was like, "Fuck you guys," because they would always yell DJ shift as when I would, you know, get up.
I
to
can
the plate.
Completely Fuck relate to that.
Yeah,
okay. I was. I'll admit, I'm not even to this day. I'm not very good at baseball or football, but I hated like when you were up to bat and everybody would be like, "Move in," and be like,
"Yeah,
fuck you guys." It sucked.
Yeah, kids are assholes.
Yeah. Kids, this was like 2 years ago.
I went to a sports camp when I was 10, and the very first day of camp, I had this really bad habit of when I played baseball, whenever I would like hit the ball, I would like throw the bat behind me, not even like to the side or in front of me, just behind me.
All that momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So first day of camp, hit the ball. Flung it behind me. The most popular girl at the camp was catcher. Whacked her right in the face with my bat.
Oh yeah.
And I was ostracized for the entire rest of the month. Like nobody wanted to talk to me. Nobody wanted to hang out with me because I hit that girl in the face.
That's
accidentally.
So but so funny.
With the bat. Yeah, it was real bad.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I remember my parents taking me and my sister to a field to play wiffle ball, and my dad threw me like a pitch or whatever, and I swung as hard as I could to hit it, and I hit it, and then I looked behind me, and my sister's like holding her head, and I was like,
"Oh,
sorry."
I've been on the receiving end of that before.
Really?
Yeah, at a cookout. It was like a family friend's house, so it was like always that weird thing when you go to the cookout, and you're like, "I don't really know these kids, but I'm gonna try to hang out with them." And we were playing wiffle ball, and I just happened to be standing behind where someone swung, and like right across my eyes.
Oh,
this really red line across my face for like 2 weeks.
Oh,
and that's why he wears glasses now.
I'm also just realizing now that I'm confusing stories. So when that story, like I swung the bat and hit my sister, and she was like crying like uncontrollably. The person that I'm talking about that was holding their head was when I was in high school, and we were playing football in the gym, and there was this girl like sitting in the stands behind us. Like home plate was like right next to the stands, and that's everyone else was a righty. So when they swung, nobody would like there would be no one behind them. But I'm a lefty, so I swung, and I looked behind me, and then this like this poor girl holding her head. I felt so bad because she was never like. She was always someone that people kind of made fun of anyway.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So
and you just had to hit her with a bat.
Yeah. Yeah. But I took her to prom.
Oh.
That's not true.
It would have been such a sweet end to the story.
Mm-hmm. I know. But it's not true. So.
Could you imagine going to prom with Batgirl?
Yeah. Oh. That's honestly like a nerd's dream to go to prom with Batgirl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Barbara. Oh.
yikes.
No. I just came.
This episode. Is
yeah,
very
like
cool.
That's two ejaculation jokes.
Yeah, Squints and Chinmo.
Squinmo.
But no, that's actually what I like about this movie because we literally all just went off on things that we did as kids. And this movie did it so well. And even now, as we're adults. We look back and like it's that nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
But it's still so accurate because that's what it was like. Yeah, I mean, great, we didn't grow up in the 50s, but still.
There's like some bit of truth to this story, at least.
I can't wait to hear the part that's not true.
No, well, so the guy that wrote the movie was sued by Michael Palidoris because it was a real friend that he had in real life.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, when he was when they were kids
or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Really? So there's like some factor of his own childhood memories.
I feel like it would have to be almost because it is very well written,
very detailed.
And actually, Craig, me and you were talking about this earlier. How, like as a kid, you always wanted to swear, you would never do it in front of your parents, but you'd always do it around your friends. Mm-hmm. And they say shit a handful of times in this movie.
Yeah, when I was rewatching it the other day. The first time he said, I think Benny's talking to Smalls, and he's like, I bet you get straight A's and shit, right? And I was like, what did he just say?
Benjamin.
Benjamin Jet Rodriguez.
Yeah, and then when the beast jumps over the fence, Benny's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's like an adult.
Yeah, actually, speaking of that, when I was rewatching it, he's putting on the new pair of PF Flyers. They're a size 8. Yeah. Yeah. That's what shoe I wear now.
Yeah, no kidding.
I never realized it either, because I actually haven't seen this movie in a while, except for the 10 minutes I just watched with you, Craig, before this. And I never realized that when he puts on the PF Flyers, it's the same shoe he already got on. Just
yeah.
A brand,
yeah, but
it's
they're
a new
brand
version.
New pair.
Yeah. It makes
it's
it go
unstoppable.
Faster. That's actually, again, another great scene is when he actually gets the ball back from the beast and he runs through the town. Like, can you imagine being in this small town and then... it's like the kids in the auditorium with the Lon Chaney movie going and jumps through the screen. Then the kids at the pool, like, mommy, mommy, look, a doggy. Ooh, big doggy.
Yeah.
Runs through like the, was it the Founder's Day thing with the giant cake and stuff. Those two chefs work so damn hard.
I mean, he's like really making it hard on himself. Like he's going out of his way to cause destruction.
Yeah.
He could have just literally ran into your
house. You don't have to run on the picnic tables where everyone's eating. Like just go around them.
There's a shot
like a real Ferris Bueller
of
you.
Right? He perfectly steps on a cup. I'm like, you could have avoided
that.
You were aiming.
I do love though that they're watching like a monster movie about a werewolf and it's cutting back and forth between like him being chased by the beast.
Yeah, he's going through the alley and stuff. Actually, one of the best parts is when they're running through the alley and he jumps on top of the car and like the old woman pops up, but then the guy on the bike is riding and all you see is the other shot from the other side of the car and the bike goes
up in the air. Everything goes up in the air.
I was gonna say, that's another flip, really nice flip scene.
How many trampolines do you think they had on?
Yeah, just slamming his bike down on the trampoline so how you can get it for the shot.
And then the beast just keeps running like it was nothing.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a talented dog.
I think a great twist to this movie would be that, because you, aside from Smalls, never see anyone else's parents. But it would be great if, like, Benny didn't have parents. Like, he was the parent. Like, he was the dad of the family.
Could you imagine?
But he's, like, breaking away to, the rest of these kids, like, living his, glory days. Like,
what a creep. Yeah. Right?
But then they'd ruin it at the end when he's, like, actually playing for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Which it's is like a cool precursor to School of Rock.
Yeah.
I do like that. I mean, again, I talked about like the bookends and stuff like that. Like how Smalls is the announcer for the Dodgers. And at the end, you find out Benny becomes an actual baseball player.
Yeah.
But even the ending when it's them after Benny pickles the beast and they're playing like one last time and it shows all of them and they fade away and tells them what they did. I thought that was a great way to end it.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, really sad too.
It is, because it's over. But, I mean, it works out for most of them.
Yeah. It would have been cool to get, like, a sequel, like, now with, like, the same actors, but Bertram was never seen again after the 60s.
Really into the 60s.
A nice way to say that. You got, like, really into drugs.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that the Milwaukee Brewers did a few scenes from the movie?
Yeah.
They used... Because I saw it pop up on like a headline thing. I was like, oh, I watched it. It's very funny.
Yeah.
And they're like, look for a cameo. I was like, oh, cool. Maybe they got one of the actors back or something to do it with them. And it's the dog at the end. It's like apparently like the Brewer's dog. And I was like,
oh my God.
Okay. It's this tiny little like poodle type dog. And it was funny. But I was like, oh, I was expecting like just someone like Smalls to walk on screen.
Yeah.
And I wonder why it was the Brewers too.
Yeah, that Milwaukee. Is weird.
Big fans of the movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was just their idea. But it would have been cool if they did the scene where the rival gang shows up. But it's the kids from the Sandlot.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Even another MLB team would have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like wearing those same uniforms.
Oh, that would have been so cool.
Yeah, that would have been great. Oh, Squints is in one of the sequels as himself.
Is he? Really? Yeah. Is he running the drugstore still?
I don't know.
Wait, how many sequels are there?
I think there's two.
Yeah, there are two. So there's Sandlot 2 and then Sandlot Homecoming, which is, I forget who's in that. It's somebody really ridiculous, like an actual like star.
Were these pretty soon after the original or
no? They're like
2000s.
Yeah, well into the 2000s.
I think I've seen part of the second one, and I think it's supposed to be like Smalls' cousin or something, like the main kid. But then it's like a whole new group of kids and stuff like that. I think that sounds right.
But so yeah, Sandlot 3, Sandlot Heading Home. Luke Perry, so it's not like an actual A-lister.
The Luke Perry?
He like presumably lived in the same neighborhood and goes back to the Sandlot and time travels back to 1975 or something. Oh. And he was like friends with Squints and Squints is like still there.
What?
Yeah.
Weird. That sucks.
I kind of want to watch the sequels now that we're talking about them.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Especially,
I bet they're bad though.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're straight to DVD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first one is actually rotten on Rotten Tomatoes, but like just barely. It's like 57.
Yeah, but like I feel like all kids' movies are rotten unless like it's now where it's like Paddington's like 100% around.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But like the Mighty Ducks movies are like 50 and 40%.
Yeah. And are those really? Are treasures.
Yeah. Wow.
D2 is the best one and it's like in the 50s.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised to see that it was 57. Sandlot was 57% on Rotten Tomatoes. And one of the reviews that was on Wikipedia was like, it was highly derivative. I'm like, it's a kids movie. Yeah. Like, what the fuck
are you expecting? About baseball. Right? Like, what are you expecting?
I actually love because this was one of, because I don't know what it was about the early 90s to mid 90s. There was just a handful of kids sports movies that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I mean, at least I love them all for the most part.
Yeah, I'm hard-pressed to find one that I didn't like.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not even that I didn't like it. The one I know the least would probably be The Big Green with...
I fucking love
it. It's
Big
a great
Green.
Movie, but yeah. I think it's because I was never into soccer.
Yeah.
The Goat was cool, though.
Yeah.
Everyone remembers The Goat.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to, like, love soccer to...
No, and then it was still... Yeah. And I actually like how a lot of the actors cross over, which is cool.
Yeah.
Because...
Ham's the goalie.
Patrick Renna, is that. And then... Benny's in Mighty Ducks. This
D2 he was D3. My favorite of the Mighty Ducks too.
Luis Mendoza.
Oh, man. That was one of my questions. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kat.
That's fine.
We had to like me and my friends started a hockey team a few years ago, and we didn't know what we were gonna do like, you know, for jerseys and stuff. So our first year we were the Mighty Ducks. We had the old school like green like duck shirts, and I was Mendoza.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Could you not stop?
Huh?
Could you not stop?
Yeah, pretty much. I always go too fast and then it takes me a while, so slow down.
I stopped. I did it. Yeah. Put it in, Luis.
Joshua Jackson posted a picture on his Instagram the other day of him posing with a guy on the street that was wearing a Mighty Ducks jersey.
Awesome.
And Joshua Jackson's like pointing at it and he's like so excited. He's like, this guy had no idea why I was stopping him on the street.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I was so like, good. Oh, that's so embarrassing.
I love that.
Because it made me. It'd be weird. I mean, even if, like, say if, like, you were in L.A. or wherever and you ran into someone from the Sandlot, I feel like you wouldn't recognize. I feel like the most recognizable one would probably be Ham.
Definitely.
Or right? Smalls because his face is exactly the
that's
same.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think the only one that's really still kind of... I know Mike Vitar, the guy that plays Benny, is he's on one of those Chicago shows, like PD or Fighter. Or something.
Oh, really?
He's on one of those. I don't know which one. So... But it stinks that they didn't do more stuff.
Yeah.
They were all great in the movie. I mean, Squints does a few other things, like Freaks and Geeks and stuff like that, but I don't know a whole lot of stuff he doesn't.
Smalls did, I think it was like the Donnellys
Black
or something.
Donnellys. Black Donnellys. I actually love that show.
Yeah, I watched it, and I was like, oh, Smalls is in this. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, he was, he was a cripple, right? He kind of walk with like a limp. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good show.
Yeah.
Only lasted a season. What a bummer.
Yep.
Okay. I guess this is a little...
Can we come back?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. A little tangent. This just happened. We just go kind of.
What is the Black Donnellys?
It took place. I think it was a Boston show.
Yeah.
And it was like this family that owned a bar, and they like tried to stay clean and not get involved in like the mafia stuff that was happening in the city. But then Smalls has a drug addiction and gets like sucked into it. And then it's the family like trying to like clean up his mess.
Oh, sounds good like shit. It's based on a true story.
Olivia Wilde's in it. Good, yep. Good show. It was only like only lasted like half a season, something like that. But yeah, it was good when it was on. That's honestly all I've ever seen him in other than I think Sandlot.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm trying to think of what else he'd be in, but I can't. I'm too lazy to look at his IMDb page. yeah. You guys got any other highlights from this movie that we haven't really hit on?
I don't know. Probably. Can't think of anything right now, though.
You can see how well we prepared for this episode. but no, this is great because this is one of the. I'm not going to say one of the few. This is one of the. A movie where, especially kids that kind of grew up in the early 90s, that I feel like everybody has seen.
Yeah.
Like, the Sandlot, they know at least some part, whether it's You're Killing Me Smalls or Legends Live Forever or S'mores. It's something that kind of connects everybody from that time, which is awesome, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Also, and we didn't hit on it, but I absolutely love James Earl Jones.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't really talk about that.
Yeah. The whole twist of him being like the like a famous baseball player that played with Babe Ruth and all of them is an awesome little twist to it.
But being an adult when he was like, oh, just take this 1927 baseball with all of these Yankee signatures on it.
Murderers
I'm like,
Row.
You could be living in a mansion right now and not that like run down house that you're living in with all of this memorabilia that you have.
Look at all that stuff. I got a lot of great stuff in there.
So my thought watching this again now is that, so you have an autographed Babe Ruth baseball, and then you have an autographed Murderer's Row baseball, which I feel like just the Babe Ruth one is worth more. You know what I mean? It's almost like these other guys ruined this autographed Babe Ruth autographed baseball.
Yeah, like devalued it by putting their name next to it.
You get a few other big, like, you get like Lou Gehrig and stuff like that.
Yeah, but still.
Hmm. I did always like that, how like that's what gets him out of trouble when he gives it back to like Dennis Leary. He's like, he was still pretty mad about the Babe Ruth ball, but he really did like the Murderer's Row ball. So I only got grounded for like 2 weeks instead.
Yeah. Instead of murdered.
Right.
Yeah. And it also bothered me that like James Earl Jones, who plays a blind man, and when you're blind, your other senses are heightened, and he's holding this disgusting baseball that's covered in like dog slobber.
He sniffs it and everything.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Get it away from your face.
I actually hate that scene when the beast has the ball in his mouth and he just lets it drop out and rolls in the dirt with all of his
And
it's
like his
it.
Drool is so foamy too.
Yeah, like disgusting. Do you want to keep this ball still? Stop trying to get it.
Yeah.
The fact that Benny even touched that after it was in his mouth and in the dirt is a feat in itself.
Yeah.
Also, I'm trying to think of it. Like, is he still holding it while he's running? Because
the whole time.
That's why he's being chased.
No, I know that's why he's being chased. But I'm trying to like look back, I'm like, I feel like he uses his hands to like kind of jump off of things. I could be wrong on that.
Well, yeah, he can adjust the ball to the index finger and the middle finger and still jump over shit.
Good call.
This is Benny the Jet fucking Rodriguez we're talking about.
How he dare can do you anything. Him.
You saw when he put the new sneakers on, right?
Can run faster, jump higher.
Yeah.
He actually does jump pretty fucking high.
Yep.
When he jumps over that fence and like almost.
It's almost like unheard of,
right?
Like that a human could even do that.
He does the flip though at the end, like when he runs back into it and he jumps over and like, just lands on his back. I'm like, you could have landed that.
Do you think he did it his own stunts?
Well, when you look back, when you watch it again, it's so obviously like a grown man doing these stunts.
Yeah, that's what I noticed last week when I was watching this.
It's his brother.
Last week.
When I said last week, I meant last night. And a little bit this afternoon.
Yeah, when I picked Craig up, he's like, I didn't get to finish. I got about 20 minutes left. I was like, let's put it on. Watch the ending. We watched the chase scene. Is there any other like highlights for you guys that stick out?
I don't think so.
The one other one that I'm really thinking of is when he gets, when he's like kind of really first introduced to like the whole gang, and it's the whole Great Bambino scene when he has no idea who they're talking about, and they just go through the 1,000 different nicknames for Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulls out the wimpy deer, and they just, look they all have on their face is like, that wimpy deer. He's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Bambino. Okay.
That look on his face when they're like, that's sound by Babe Ruth. And he's like, oh my God, that's the same guy.
It finally clicks after all this time.
And I think it's such a cute line when he's like at home and his dad's like office and he's putting the fake Babe Ruth ball back and his mom comes in. She's like, he ever tell you about that ball signed by Babe Ruth that was given to his dad that gave it to him? And he's like, my own mom, a girl, knows who Babe Ruth is. She's really rubbing salt in the wounds. Yeah.
I mean, that's
I don't
even
think about it.
That's even like the that's even the line like when like that they go too far when they're doing the insults, like, you play ball like a girl. All their face like, oh, holy shit, he went there. Mm. Oh man. And then it just gets way too serious. Actually, his mom, Karen Allen, is awesome.
Yeah, I love her.
Oh, yeah.
She's a treasure.
Indie.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep.
The scene, I hate this every time I see it, when they're trading the insults, and he's like, fart sniffer, and then it pans over to Bertram, and he's like, and then you hear like a little fly in the back.
I did not pick up on that.
Yeah. It's like such a gross little touch.
He does like the same sniff that he does with the big chief, though.
Yeah.
I also love that, like, Smalls is terrible at baseball at first and like misses like a pop fly and like can't throw. And then he catches one and then throws one. And they're like, cool.
He's good.
He's in. Like, he's okay. One of us.
Like he only caught one ball and he wasn't looking.
It's how so good maybe, of a like, teacher Benny is.
Yeah, maybe just like give it a few more tries just to make sure.
It's also crazy how accurate he is. He's like, just put your glove up. I'll do the rest.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's fucking accurate.
That's how you knew he was going to go pro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He definitely like hit that ball into his fucking glove.
Yeah.
So good.
He's 45 years old.
It is cringeworthy watching the two scenes when Smalls runs the ball over to his stepdad
and then
runs the ball over when they're playing at the Sandlot. I was like watching through my fingers the other night.
The look on their faces. Actually, even the scene when he's playing catch with Dennis Leary, it's so funny because like it's like a gentle toss. And then there's one when he like goes and hits him in the eye. I'm like, that's pretty serious black eye for a small throw.
I always loved when he put the steak on his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just makes like a perfect smack sound.
I absolutely love this movie, and I'm happy we got to talk about this, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah. And Kat, you did the trivia this week, right?
I did do the trivia this week.
What do you got for us? Even though we ruined two of them already?
It's all right. I got backups.
Was it two?
Yeah, it was the Mighty Benny's Ducks. Brother. And then the Mighty Ducks one.
Yeah.
What was the Mighty Ducks one?
Which actor? I'm assuming.
I said what other movie sports franchises Mike Vitar part of.
What the hell is the pitcher's name? He plays Jesse DeNunez. Hall in the Mighty Ducks.
Is that him?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, DeNunez, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Didn't think of that, did you, Kat?
No, I did not.
Trivia for Deej.
I did not. All right. First one, since we talked about it a little bit. How many times do they say the word pickle?
Is it
more or less than five?
Way more. I'd say more.
Yeah, more.
It's more, but it's only six.
Really?
It feels like a whole lot more.
They say pickle over five times.
Yeah, I found the script online, and I just did find pickle. I was like, it's going to be like 40, and it was only six.
Man, that's really great research.
Yeah. All right.
That's in depth.
Next one. What kind of dog is Hercules?
Is he a bull mastiff?
Close.
That would have been my guess.
He's an English mastiff.
Oh.
I'll give it to you.
That's more proper.
Yeah.
You got half credit.
Hercules. All right. What's the name of the pharmacy that Squints and Wendy buy?
Oh, I was just talking about this. Hold on. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, didn't you just say it like 10 minutes ago?
What was it? Oh, fuck, I'm not going to remember.
I have no idea.
What to begin with? What's the first letter?
V.
No, you can't remember.
Vincent's Pharmacy.
I almost said Venkman for some.
Yes, it's Venkman's Pharmacy.
Yeah. Stop talking about fucking Ghostbusters. Right?
How much does a baseball cost?
Oh,
89 cents?
No, it was 90 cents.
98.
What?
Oh, it was 98 extra cents. Yeah.
Playing,
fuck.
Playing Price is Right, I got that.
What would you say?
95.
What baseball card does the Babe ask to keep when he visits Benny?
Hank Aaron.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hank Pickle.
I don't know why. Hank Pickle.
I don't know why, but I want this pickle card.
I want this Henry Pickle Aaron.
Every time I watch that, I'm just going to imagine him like putting the card in his back pocket and then just like taking a jar of pickles off his dresser.
Yeah, like crunching a pickle instead of a cigar.
Why is it?
Who narrates the movie?
Like the actor or the character?
Is it the writer and director of the movie?
Yep.
I don't know his name.
David Mickey Evans. Is the writer and director narrates it.
Interesting.
Okay. All right. I'll move on to the backups. What is Small's stepdad's name?
Bill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love when he's like, Bill. I mean, Dad. Dad. Yeah. I mean, Bill.
That's so uncomfortable.
That kills me every time, too.
He plays the awkward child very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is Small's first name?
Oh, you already said it.
Oh,
earlier. Your own trivia question.
Yeah.
No, it's Michael.
No.
Oh, wait,
it's
it isn't.
Not either
oh.
of those?
Wait, what?
I thought it was Scotty.
Yeah, it's Scotty.
Oh, okay.
Scotty Smalls.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Squints.
No.
No, that's
Michael, doing that.
Michael Palidores.
Yeah.
Do you guys know Benny's middle name?
Benjamin Franklin Rodriguez. Yes.
Oh.
Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah.
That was like one of the first lines of the movie. I was like, come on.
Yeah. Power off.
And go ahead and take
Snaps
that out of the VCR.
DVD.
Those are good.
Thanks.
I like that. Sorry for ruining the two.
No, it's fine. I had backups for that reason.
See, we're getting better at this trivia thing.
Yeah.
It's good. you guys have been on this before. You guys know we like to end with who would you be, who would you like to be segment. Does anybody have one ready to go?
It shouldn't be too hard to think of one. Yeah. I'll go first.
Okay.
I would like to be Benny the Jet, because who wouldn't?
Right.
But I would probably be Bill. I just feel like it would be very easy for me to like not be interested in talking to anyone, and I have no time to like I would rather be like doing this thing than like teaching my son how to play catch.
Jesus.
I'm sure it'll change when I'm an actual parent, but
we'll check in later.
Yeah.
Do you guys think Benny and the Jets was written about Benny the Jet?
Yeah, definitely.
I like
yeah.
next.
Real Peter, moving on. Yeah. Craig, what about you?
Aside from the sexual assault, I think I would be Squints.
Is it because of the glasses?
The glasses, and when I was younger, I definitely had a thing for older babes. Those second or third grade babes when I was in first grade. I was like such a dork when I was that young. I would like write love letters to girls and poems and shit.
That's
I
awesome.
Didn't know
that's
that about
really
you.
Cute.
That's awesome. Yeah. But who I'd like to be? Oh, the Beast.
Oh.
Good one.
What's better than being a dog? And that thing has intimidation factor. So
that's true.
It's always a plus. Yeah.
I mean, the size alone. It's huge.
Could you imagine?
So if I'm thinking, you had the same. I mean, who wouldn't want to be Benny?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think I'd probably be James Earl Jones in this. I'd probably be like the older guy that has a bunch of cool collectible shit. Just be like, look at all this shit I have, just randomly, and living with my dog.
And because you're blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was besides the point, but that's fine.
I think I would like to be Benny, obviously, because he's really cool and like. Very talented. I would be Smalls just because I remember like being one of the only girls on my street. So when my brother and like there was these other two brothers at the top of our street, the Alexander brothers, and
they just sound like bad guys.
They were actually super nice.
Oh, so they sound like villains in a kid's movie.
Alexander brothers. But like, and there's this other kid that lived next door to us, Max. And they would all, like, get a game going, and I wouldn't want to, like, just be home by myself. So I'd be like, can I play with you guys? And I'm like, no. You're a girl. You suck. And I was like, fine.
That's when you hit him with the bat?
Yeah. No, that was Cassidy at sports camp.
Cassidy.
Yep. It was, like, St. John's, like, sports day camp or something at St. John's Prep. Yeah. We also, my 7th and 8th grade field trips, we went to this place and called Cedardale. I don't know if you guys ever went there. It was like this big like sports pavilion in like Georgetown.
No, it's cool though.
And they have a mini green monster there. So they had like a baseball diamond and then they had like a mini green monster.
Are you sure you weren't in DJ's backyard?
Yeah. Yeah. You grew up in Georgetown, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
and
and we always knew it was going to be our field trip. So like the whole year leading up to it, we'd like have teams picked out and I was like always on one of the last teams.
I think that's the wiffle ball field where, for all you sports nuts out there, when they opened it, they had, I forget the name of the pitcher for the Red Sox, but they also had Bucky Dent. You know Bucky Dent?
Yeah.
He had like a home run in like a wild, or like a one game playoff between the Red Sox and the Yankees that ended the Red Sox seasons. And he's like infamous in Boston for like that and everyone hates him. But they recreated it for the opening of this like wiffle ball field.
Really?
Yeah, it was like the same pitcher and Bucky Dent, and he like you know gave him a threw him a little meatball and he crushed it over the green monster.
Oh man,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, I think that's the same one.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Sure.
Thanks, guys. Right. Whatever, dude.
thank you guys for coming down and doing this. This is great.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime.
This is great. I love that we started out talking about Sandlot and then just turned into us telling a bunch of fun stories about the same things that happened to us when we were a kid, mm-hmm. which is, again, one of my favorite parts about this movie. So this is great.
Yeah.
We'll walk down memory lane. Thanks, guys.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
No. Thank you.
Did you guys practice that?
Shh. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you guys have anything you want to plug?
Top Five of Death, but only when I'm on it.
I'm going to plug Top Five of Death only when DJ and Jeff are on it.
BWK is pissed right now.
Well, I mean, he doesn't
care. He
didn't
listen this long. Come on. It's about baseball.
That's true. Yeah.
I really hope we get a message from him sometime this, like next week for this.
Chapter one.
Kat, what about us? Where can they find us?
They can find us at Conquest Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if you want to send us an email about your favorite moments from Sandlot or any like fun baseball stories or childhood stories that you want to share, feel free to reach out to us at conquestpod@gmail.com.
Cool. And yeah.
Oh, and I was going to say, you can also find more information about us and our family podcast, Rhythm and Brews, on wasted-minds.com.
Yep. Both up there. Both great listens.
Deej and Jeff have been on it as well.
Yep. So is Craig.
Episodes. Yeah, Craig, sorry. You just said Jeff, and I imagined you there. Sorry.
Actually, if you haven't listened to it, the Local Brews episode that you're on.
Yeah, that's a really fun one.
It's one of my favorites. So that's my plug. Hey,
that's cool. I've been on that show like three times. I didn't hear you say what your favorite one of mine is.
Uh-huh, and that's going to do it for us. So
all the fun ones.
Yeah.
Damn it.
We were the fun ones.
We were so close to just exit. Oh, damn it.
That's going to become our new sign.
Welcome to one of the fun ones.
Oh, motherfucker.
Well, that about does it for us and all the fun ones.
I really thought we were going to get through an episode without it. We were so close.
Nope.
Thanks, Craig.
No way, man.
You're welcome. I highly enjoyed it.
Damn it. All right, well, I guess that's going to wrap it up for us. So adios, mi amigos.
And remember to be excellent to each other.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Conquest, a podcast where we talk about conventions, fandom, and all things pop culture. We're your hosts, Kat and Chinmo, and this week we're going to be talking about The Sandlot. The Sandlot, blah, 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 blah. All right, yeah, I'm ready. I think I'm ready.
Everybody always does impressions of us whenever we start.
Oh, wow. Yow. Okay, got it.
Can you hear yourself do that?
Yeah.
Is this recording?